Live from ATIA, this is Michael Loff, and I'm joined now by Mark Hall with Mark Hall Sales Associates, or MHSA is the abbreviated version there. But Mark is involved with something that we have a lot of interest in at Serotalk, and that's video captioning. So Mark, why don't you tell folks exactly what you do?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me here today. I represent CaptionMic. CaptionMic was developed for the National Captioning Institute by a company called Altec. I was the director of sales and marketing for Altec, and I've since continued on with CaptionMic to get it out to the world. It was initially developed as a means of creating captions for television broadcast. We then realized that if we changed the display methods, we could also caption classrooms for individual deaf and hard of hearing persons, and also for meetings. And we've done very well along those lines for a number of years. And we currently have a number of broadcasters, colleges and universities, government agencies, and even churches using CaptionMic to produce live captions for their events.
Okay, so explain how this works. Does someone have to type in the description that goes with the narration, or is there any kind of voice recognition that picks up some of it, and you proof it, or what?
It's a speech recognition system, Michael. A person trains it to their voice, and then they train or practice to learn how to echo, to repeat what's being said. We find that 100% of all native persons can create a voice profile, and CaptionMic is available both in English and in Spanish, and that 60 to 70% of people have the innate ability to echo or repeat what's being said. So we've created a large potential labor base. CaptionMic takes anywhere from 2 days to 2 weeks to become proficient. And you get better as you go along.
So what operating systems is supported?
Well, CaptionMic is run under a Windows XP Pro operating system. We've just had a customer use Vista successfully, but I told him to call me back in 30 days and tell me how that's still working.
Right, because I know Vista has its own voice recognition, so I was kind of surprised. I thought maybe you were going to go the other way. But so XP Pro is the main
operating system
for it.
Yeah. And we'll look at Windows 7 when that comes out, too.
Exactly, playing with that. Now, is this accessible to myself, someone blind? Is it going to be an accessible tool for me to use with screen reading software?
Well, with CaptionMic, I really have to admit, Michael, we have not looked into
so it may not be accessible.
Okay. It is. We would like to be able to, at some point, hire blind persons to act as voice captioners for the deaf and hard of hearing.
Well, certainly you and I can talk about that off microphone. And is there a demo or evaluation or temp license that people can use to?
We don't really do a demo or a trial version of it, because CaptionMic is really dependent on the person using it and the time and effort they put into it.
Exactly.
And we found that if customers don't pay for it up front,
they're not
they
going to put enough
effort
until they would want their,
So every trial I've had returned to me and said, oh, this doesn't work because they tried to plug line audio into it.
Or use a junky $5 microphone or something, and you do have to use a good mic, you might mention that.
But I've never had a return from a customer who's paid for it.
And what is the cost for a CaptionMic?
The cost for the CaptionMic software is $3,700. But beyond what we're doing with the live portion of it, providing access for the deaf and hard of hearing in live, it's also creating a text file, much like Dragon or Max Speech or any of the other speech recognition engines. But that text file is also a time text XML file, which I can then take into my secondary program called CaptionWrap. I can edit any errors, and voice captioners aren't perfect. Typically, they're 95 to 98% accurate, but I can edit that file, and then I can re-encode to either videotape or Windows Media Player format or QuickTime or Flash and the DVD standard. And I think I left out RealPlayer.
Right, so you have all the online formats.
Yes. As a matter of fact, Michael, you're going to post this interview on your SamNet Radio.
Right, and Serotalk.com, our podcast, where people can download the MP3 as well.
Do you also put up a transcript?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because I have not found an efficient... I would love to do that. I would love to support deafblind users or folks that, you know, the Braille display is their communications tool.
Well, Caption Mic is one way to do that, and I actually did that with... I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of his podcast, a gentleman out of Arizona, where I'd actually taken his transcript that he'd already created it and timed it with Caption Mic and gave it to him in a format that he could include with his podcast. And we can talk about that.
Yeah, we can certainly afterwards. Talk about that. I'm very interested in the technology and the capability, and certainly don't mind putting some effort into that. Use decent microphones and have always been interested in voice recognition since first introduced to it back with an old app back in 98 called Converse. Mm-hmm. I don't know whatever happened to them. But
No, I'm not familiar with them either.
Yeah. Well,
one of the reasons I'm here at ATIA is this afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Microsoft AT Theater, I'm going to be unveiling our new feature with Caption Mic. We can now write to third-party applications. Big deal, right? Dragon's been doing that for years. Via Voice has been doing that for years. But now with Caption Mic doing that, I can have a voice captioner write to a third-party application. And the reason I want to do that is many distance learning programs online have caption windows or ways to show captions. Now I can write into those windows so we can caption live online distance learning programs. And you can keep the caption file if you're recording the session, so now you have captioned media.
Yeah, something like Talking Communities, if you've looked at that, kind of what they're doing.
I'm not familiar with them. I'll have to look into them.
Yeah, because they have the synchronized, you can synchronize text with the audio recordings, and it has a multi-user voice chat, so you might
Well, that's how captioning has always worked. Yeah, because we have a time-coded XML file, I'm just outputting it in the formats, the various video formats that are required out there. So we've greatly reduced the cost of creating captions.
So can you give us some online resources, maybe where Caption Mic is in use and people can kind of see the end result?
Well, actually, there's two places that you can see the end result. One is the Home Shopping Network. So turn on your cable system. The Home Shopping Network has been using Caption Mic for, I believe, 4 years now.
Oh, so they have the captions that are in sync with the products that they're selling at
Absolutely.
That particular time with descriptions
and they're creating them live.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, another online source is the Connecticut Network. I'm from Connecticut, and the Connecticut Network is our state public affairs network, state legislative TV. It's our version of C-SPAN. And they've been using Caption Mic for about 4 years now to caption their cable cast. An interesting thing they discovered was when you're working with television captioning, you're working with what's called line 21 vertical blanking interval. Big deal. But they found that if they take that same signal after the caption encoder creates it and go to a Windows media server, they preserve the line 21 captions. So if you go to the Connecticut Network site and look at their live or their archived material that is marked closed caption, they have the closed captions on their website along with the video.
Now, what has to be done to accommodate the new HDTV?
HDTV, that's a whole mess in and of itself. We're producing the caption signal. What happens with HDTV is there's so many things in the stream. All we're doing is creating the signal. You could have problems at the distribution point. You could have problems with, the consumer not having the right cable hookup. That's a mess that I can't solve for you.
Right. I was just curious. Did you have to do upgrades for the software?
No.
No. Okay.
All captioning software is still using what's known as the EIA 608 standard. For digital, for HD, it's now the EIA 708 standard. That's okay because there are converters that upconvert all the captions. There's no native EIA 708 because there's no difference. All the difference is at the consumer end. It's not in the creation.
Right, it's on the receiving side.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're trying to sort that out. We want to do some more coverage of that and helping people to figure out where to get their described videos and captioning and other things with the new technologies. And some of that's going to depend on the stations, I would assume, as well, right?
Absolutely, Michael. Please don't suck me into that time sink. Yeah, there's lots of bright engineers out there that know much more about it than I do.
Well, fair enough. I just want to know if there are any special considerations that people needed to keep in mind if they were producing content for an HD venue.
No, sorry. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's still the same creation method.
Right. You explained it very well, actually.
I do represent two other solutions.
Okay, let's talk about what else you offer.
One of the lines I represent is from Automatic Sync Technologies. Automatic Sync has a service called Caption Sync. These are a couple of very bright PhD guys that came up with this algorithm to sync text to audio. So they've created this service where you can upload their video, your video, and a transcript if you have it, and they will create a time text caption file in a variety of formats in less than real time. So if the video is an hour long, they'll give you back a caption file in about 5 minutes. That's Caption Sync. If you need it, if you do not have a transcript, they'll prepare one for you. It will take 2 or 3 days. The beauty of that is the cost is much less, and the speed is much faster. They can get some real economies of scale here.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, is that, so if someone didn't want to lay out or have the motivation to learn the nuances of Caption Mic, if they could hire a service that uses that and what that might cost per hour, or if they kind of buy a certain number of hours of captioning, or how that works?
Well, with Caption Sync, it's web-based service, so there's no software, there's no hardware investment on your part. You only pay for what you use. Now, I don't know that I'm allowed to tell you what the rates are over open radio, but I can tell you that it's about half of traditional methods, and the more you use, they have a sliding scale of rates.
So there are volume discounts, right?
There are volume discounts, and it depends on what services you need.
Fair enough. And what is the third item?
The third item is a device called the Ubi Duo. Ubi Duo stands for Ubiquitous Duo, meaning everywhere. There's two of them. It was designed by a deaf gentleman who got frustrated one morning about 7 years ago. He was having breakfast with his father, and his father knew some sign language, but they just got very frustrated with how slow communications were between the two of them. So they sketched this design on a napkin. And what it is it's two keyboards about the size of a laptop keyboard, and it's got a little display screen. The screen is about 4 inches by 3 inches. And there's two of them. And there's a mechanical hinge that you can hinge them together and close it up and carry it with you for like a laptop.
The so I can type into it and it's going to convert it into a sign language?
It's essentially an instant messenger system.
Oh, okay.
But I don't have to be on the internet. I can carry this with me.
And what's the range then?
Range is about 500 feet. But I carry
Bluetooth or what is it?
I'm not quite sure. I believe it's an IR. I'm not quite sure the technology that he's using.
Okay.
I believe that's on his website.
All right.
But what this allows me to do, if I were a deaf person, and I'll give you an example. If I'm a deaf person and I want to go to the doctor's in 2 to 4 weeks, I make my appointment and then I arrange for an interpreter. But if I'm a deaf person, I wake up this morning and I'm sick and I need to go to the doctor's, the odds of me getting an interpreter are not good. I can bring this with me to the doctor's. I can unhinge it. I could be typing on one side. The doctor could be typing on the other unit. We would be seeing the conversation simultaneously. We can also save that conversation and upload it to a computer with a USB cable.
And what is the price?
The price of that is $1,995.
Okay, why don't you give the websites and any contact information people interested in wanting to pursue any of these three products?
Absolutely, Michael. Thank you. My website is www.mhsa.us. That stands for Mark Hall Sales Associates.us. I have several videos on YouTube, and they're all captioned, by the way. So if you go to YouTube and search on the term Caption Mike, there's three videos up there now, and I'll be adding some more that really explain Caption Mike. The website for Caption Sync is automaticsync.com, and that's sync, S-Y-N-C.
Any email addresses or phone numbers you want to give? People want to talk to you or ask you questions?
My email address is mark, M-A-R-K, at mhsa.us. Again, that's mark at mhsa.us. And my phone number is 203-574-5128.
Okay, folks. Well, there's three great technologies for dealing with captioning or folks with hearing impairment. And I guess in some cases, even 508 compliance. So it sounds like some great technologies. I assume many people will go and check it out. Thanks a lot for dropping by. Mark, we wish you success with all three of your endeavors.
Thank you, Michael.